Good morning, everybody. How are you doing? Everybody having a really good week? Good. I am so glad to see everyone here today. Thank you for coming out to worship with us at Crestview Baptist Church. If you came to our Sunday school kickoff this morning, kind of we're glad to, I guess you could call it a kickoff. We're glad to have you here, and you'll hear more information later, but we're officially going to start that back next week. That being said, there is a brief business meeting after the service today. So as soon as service is over, we're going to have a brief business meeting. And then after the service and after the brief business meeting, if you are on the breakfast committee or want to be on the breakfast committee, any part of that, Whitey wants to meet with you. Where at, Whitey? In the fellowship hall. He probably told me that. It just was you. But it's okay. So in the fellowship hall after that, Wednesday nights, we are still doing our Bible study in here, and I'm having youth in the building. And I know there are kids who are interested in coming back, so I'm going to talk to I'm going to try to get one class together on Wednesday for kids, but there'll be more information coming about that soon. I've got to talk to my adults who teach that and see how they want to work that out. But 6:30 in here for the Harmony of the Gospels Bible study, 6:30 in the building for youth Bible study, and we are going to start a new youth video series on Wednesday night that is going to help these young kids understand why we believe what we believe when we're Christians. It's called Doctrine. It's a Francis Chan video. It's kind of in depth a little bit, but we're going to break it down and we're going to make it where everybody can understand it. So I look forward to that. Work day on Thursday. Down at the creek, still working down at the creek. 6 o'clock for that. And we are still collecting 6-ounce tubes of toothpaste. And we are collecting cases of water to donate to the schools in the area. So keep those in mind. But right now, don't forget about all those announcements. But take all those announcements and put them in the back of your head. And we're going to focus on God as we dive into worship this morning. And I hope you're as excited as I am.
Yes, Chad, we are excited. We're excited to sing praises to our Lord and Savior. So let us stand as we sing hymn number 406, The Solid Rock. We'll sing the first and the fourth verses, 406.
Good morning. It's great to see everybody here this morning. Thank you for being here. As Chad said, we do have a short business meeting right after the service, but it should not be long. But I want to give you a couple of updates. Talk with Stan. Many of you know Wanda had to go to the hospital in Charlotte. She is back home. They are just asking for continued prayer as they sort through everything and try to figure out what all is going on. So just keep them in your prayer. We do have a praise and a prayer request. Continue to pray for the Schiff family. Todd is here with us, fresh out of quarantine. Dell and her mother went this past, I guess, Tuesday, and had a COVID test, and both of them came back negative. So that's a praise, because they have been exposed, but continue to pray for them and the whole family as they maneuver this virus. And, we are slowly starting to get back to a routine. It's not normal. And to be honest with you, I don't know if we need to go back to normal ever again, because when God does something, you never go back to the way it used to be. He always does something and He changes things. And God continues to push us forward to fulfill the Great Commission. And my prayer is this, is that even though this has been a difficult time for churches around the globe, and especially in certain parts of our country, with politicians telling us that they can't meet or they can't sing and everything like that, but here's my prayer, that God will use this as a spark to ignite churches to finally stand up and be the people that He has created us to be. That we will continue to proclaim the love of Jesus Christ and the gospel of Christ with more boldness and more love than we've ever done it before. Because that is what's going to change people, and that's what's going to keep us building the kingdom of God and becoming who God has created us to be. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit going out and proclaiming the gospel however we can. And that's my prayer. But at this time, I ask you that if you can join us in prayer as we begin this service. Oh, that's right. Thank you. Joe McCurry, if you know, Mr. Joe is not here today. Joe never misses a service. Last Monday, he started feeling like he was having a kidney stone. Wednesday, he got a hold of his doctor. Doctor sent him to emergency room. When they did the scans and the x-rays and everything to find the kidney stone, he had already passed the kidney stone, but they found that he had pneumonia in one of his lungs. So he is at home on antibiotics right now. He's doing well. He's also on some pain medicine that's making him a little bit loopy. But just continue to pray for Joe. And just another praise, because he had no symptoms of pneumonia. But that when they went looking for that kidney stone is when they found it. And that's just the way God works. God's an amazing God, and He will continue to do things that will amaze us. And so we're grateful for that. But pray for Joe, and then join me in prayer. Blessed Heavenly Father, we come before You, joined together as Your people. Dear Lord, we have come here today for one purpose, and that is to worship You, to meet with You face to face, and to listen to You. And dear Lord, I pray that You be with the requests that have been made known today during our prayer time, during Sunday school, and even this morning during the service. But dear Lord, I know that like me, many people have concerns, requests that are deep within our hearts that we have not shared. But dear Lord, You know our innermost being. And You know the desires of our heart. Dear Lord, you know our concerns. And dear Lord, we ask that you work in each and every one of those situations as only you can. That you draw us close to you through our circumstances. That you remind us of your love and your mercy and your grace through our situations. And dear Lord, thank you for where we have seen you work already in the lives of our people. We thank you for negative tests. We thank you for finding Joe's pneumonia while looking for a kidney stone. Dear Lord, we lift up Stan and Wanda to you. During this time of uncertainty, dear Lord, I just ask that you just fill them with your presence. You fill them with your peace as only you can. And dear Lord, I ask you that you just give us an extra portion of love that we may be able to share the love of Jesus Christ in a new and different way, dear Lord, that we are able to reach people during this very difficult time in our country. Dear Lord, I ask you to give us wisdom that we may see what is true, that we will see what is right. And dear Lord, that you give us the strength and courage also to do what is right and what is true. Dear Lord, I lift up our leaders to you. Dear Lord, break their hearts for the things that break yours. Allow them to act selflessly instead of selfishly. Allow them to do what is best for our people, their people. Dear Lord, be with our churches, be with my fellow pastors as they lead their congregations today to worship you. And dear Lord, give us insight into your will as we make decisions that will affect our church and our future, that we don't want to do what we want, dear Lord, but we want to do what you want us to do. We want to do your will in every circumstance, every situation. We want to truly say that we are trusting you and that we are following you. And dear Lord, as we gather together today to worship you, that you will speak to us through the songs that we sing. You will speak to us through Chad's children's sermon. That you will speak to us through the reading of your word and through this message that you have given me today. That we will know that we have been in the house of God when we leave this place today. That it will show on our faces that we have been in your presence. Dear Lord, we give you all the honor and glory for it all. And it's in the name of our precious Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Give me just a second. I'm going to borrow this for a minute. I'll put it back. I know it's somebody you can come sing on, right? I'll put it back. All right. I need a couple of volunteers, and because we're not swapping germs, I'm going to take volunteers from one family, and the only family I think that's got two kids is the Barcher family. So if you'll send me two kids up here, you can just pick a kid. You any, meeny, miny kid, pick a kid by the toe. Do what? Oh, here come the girls. All right, girls, come here. And so this is not just for the kids. All right, so you, one of you come right here, and one of you come right here on each side. Come here, stand up beside this. Stand up beside this chair. All right. Hey, you want to come up here and help us too? All right, you can help us too. All right, so I'm going to give you girls this toothpaste over here. And I want you to take this toothpaste and I want you to squirt it all out in this plate, okay? All right, can you do that for me? All right. You squirt half and then let Presley squirt half, okay? Squeeze it. Back here, squeeze it. You gotta squeeze it all out. Squeeze it. Here. Here, let Presley squeeze some of it. She's waiting patiently to squeeze some of the toothpaste out. Here, Presley. Here, squeeze some of this toothpaste out. If you'll do it. When you guys brush your teeth at home, how you do it? Watch this. If you'll do it like this, and you'll roll it, it'll all come out. And Mom won't fuss that you're wasting toothpaste. All right. Now, are you ready for your part?
Yeah.
Put this back in there. You can't do that?
Nope.
Why? You can't? Okay. Thank you. All right. Give me a fist bump and then go sit down for a minute because we're going to go out to children's church in a minute. All right. Go sit down. All right. This is my example. This toothpaste, I had them squeeze all the toothpaste out. And then Betsy looked at me like I was crazy when I told her to put it back in. Well, this doesn't just apply for the kids. This applies for all of us because I get on social media, even me sometimes, something that I feel convicted with sometimes is the words that come out of our mouth. God gave us the tongue in our mouth to speak, guys. But He told us to be very, very careful with our tongue. The tongue... Now, I haven't fact-checked this, so somebody fact-checked this. I've always heard this, though. The tongue is the strongest muscle in the body. Does anybody know if that's true? One says it's true. So I've always heard that's true. And so God gave us that muscle for a reason. He gave us to share to tell other people about God, to spread love to other people. But guess what we choose to do with our tongue sometimes? We choose to run people in the ground. We choose to say things that aren't mean to people. It might be our neighbor. It might be our friend on Facebook. It might be our brothers and sisters. We choose to say things to people that we shouldn't. Well, our tongues and the words in our mouth are just like this toothpaste. Once they come out, there's no putting them back. We can apologize for the words that we say, and we can say, I'm sorry, all day long. But we still said those words. We can't put them back in our mouth. And the hurt that those words cause lasts, even if we make amends with those people, because we're human and that's what we do. But I want to challenge you, and we're going to talk about it more, because I'm excited, because in just a minute, when I get done, I'm going to line the kids up at the door, and we're going to go to the fellowship building. And we are going to color, and we are going to talk a little bit more about this. And I'm going to share some scripture with you guys. But I do want to read this scripture. James 3:8-9 says, "But no man can tame the tongue. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God." God made each and every one of us. We should not be using our tongue to cause harm to other people. We need to use the words that come out of our mouth to build people up, to share love with us. Why should we love other people? We love other people because we were first loved by God, and we're supposed to share that with everyone we come in contact with. So I'm going to say a quick prayer, and I'm going to let the kids line up, and we're going to go to the fellowship building. I'm going to make sure everybody's social distance, families are going to sit together, and so don't be worried about that. If you're worried about it, I'm going to do the best I can. So, but if you've been to the school, you know it's hard. So, but let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the words that you give us in this Bible. Lord, we pray that you give us the strength this week to use our tongue in a way that is pleasing to you. Use it to spread love and build people up, and not tear people down and be mean to people. I just praise you, God. I thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. Amen. All right, kids, if you'll line up at the back door there.
Come on, guys.
Thank you, choir. I also want to say thank you for everyone that's prayed for me this past week and to Sandra, especially for picking up the slack for me on Wednesday and in doing an incredible Bible study on Wednesday night. I do want to point out something that she said something about being perfect. And then you realize what happened right after she did that. Her phone rang from the podium and went all over the internet of her claiming to be perfect, and then her phone ringing during church. I thought that was hilarious, and I actually texted her during church and told her, perfect, huh? But I appreciate Sandra taking care of that, and I thank you for praying for me. I feel much better. I was not expecting to deal with a UTI. That took me by surprise, but I am thankful that that we were able to catch that and get it taken care of. Yes? I can't remember that part. Oh, that's right. The reason she said she was perfect is because the test results came back from her bone marrow test, and that she is a 100% perfect match for her brother. So in case she has to do that, she is a perfect match for that. And want to tell Miss B, it's great to see her today with us again. Thank you for being here, Miss B. And she brought her great-granddaughter with her this morning, too, and she's back there. That's Presley that came up front, so we're glad for that. But today, if you see the title of the sermon, Even If, I want to continue with the theme that I've been preaching on for the last month, and follow up from last week when I preached about, really shared my heart and the difficulties that pastors and church leaderships are dealing with, and the fact that we get defeated and discouraged, but God doesn't let that go. He doesn't give up on us. And that He meets us where we are and gives us exactly what we need to do to have to be able to complete the task that He has given us. Well, today I want us to look at it, Even If. And I want us to turn to Daniel chapter 3, and I'm going to look at as the focal point and give you a little bit of a background on what's going on here. Everybody knows this story. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. King Nebuchadnezzar, he is getting a little bit too big for his britches. He is literally, and this is what they thought, that he just wasn't chosen by God, but that he was God incarnate. And so he made this golden image of himself, and he made a command across his empire that when they heard the music, that they were all to bow down and worship this golden idol of Nebuchadnezzar. Well, the music started and everybody bowed down, and there were three young men, young Hebrew men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or if you're fans of VeggieTales, Rack, Shack, and Benny. They stood. They did not bend their knees. They did not bow. And this group, the Chaldeans, they went and said, hey, this same stuff. Did you see what they did, king? They didn't bow. So the king calls them up. And he says to them, and this is where we get to our passage today. So if you turn to Daniel chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 13 through 18. But if you would stand as I read this, and this is what it says. Verse 13, it says, then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and anger, gave orders to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Then these men were brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar responded and said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, if you're ready, at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, and bagpipe, and all kinds of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, very well. But if you will not worship, you will immediately be cast into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. And what God is there who can deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." Let us pray. Lord, thank you for everything that you've done for us. Thank you for the example of faith and courage and determination that we see in these three young men. Thank you for the words that are written here and the message that we can receive from it. And it's in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Is it true? What a very pointed question. Is it true? Look at this in verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar responded and said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods?" Notice little g. Little g. "Or worship the golden image that I have set up." What a powerful question Nebuchadnezzar asked these three young men standing alone in front of him. You talk about pressure. Here they were, standing before the king with all their accusers, all the people watching. And they're standing there alone. And he asked them, "Is it true?" He was asking not only about their actions, but also about their belief in God. You see, you cannot separate your beliefs and your actions, because one always affects the other. You can say you believe anything you want to say, but until you act on that belief is worthless. So this question is cutting to the chase. He is asking them, "Do you really believe what you're saying that you believe?" James tells us that faith without works is dead. He says, "You tell me what you believe." He said, "I'll show you what I believe by what I do." People, that's the truth. We come to church every Sunday morning. There are some of us that sit in these pews every week, time after time. How does that affect what you do during the week? Does it have any effect at all? It should. Not because you're sitting here in church, but because of the reason you're sitting here in church. You are here to worship your Savior. And that in itself should affect everything there is about you. It should affect how we act, what we say. Chad talked about that once it's out, you say something, you can't get it back. But you know, I have become somewhat of a Facebook stalker. I don't post a lot of stuff on social media anymore. In fact, I don't look at it a whole lot anymore. because I can't tell you how disheartening it is to see people that claim to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and to live their life as Christians, and one post they're praising God, and the next post they're talking about something that has nothing whatsoever to do with God. And the language that is used, and the hate that is poured out, and the division, that is not of God. And it gets disheartening. So the king's asking them here, is it true? Are you really going to stick to this? Are you going to... You talk about the pressure. Everyone here understands pressure. You're pressured from every direction to compromise. You're pressured to do something one way or the other. You know, they even there's a thing called positive peer pressure, that you get people to do the right thing because of the peer pressure to do the right thing. So it goes both ways. So he's asking this. He says, but here's what we have to understand, church. The world is asking us every day the same question. They want to know, is it true? Is what we say we believe in Jesus Christ, if what we say that we believe God teaches, if what we say about the fact that He will change our lives, they want to know, is it true? Each and every one of us are asked that question every day. Maybe not verbally, but people are watching you. They're watching how you react, and they're wanting to know the answer to that question. Is it true? But the pressure is on. If that wasn't pressure enough, verse 15. He says this, now if you are ready, at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, and bagpipe, and all kinds of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, that's great. If you do it, no problem. If you bend the knee, if you compromise, I'll be happy. You'll be okay. But if you do not worship, you will immediately be cast into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. And what God, now notice this, look at that. What God, little g, he's talking about the gods that he knows about. What God is there that can deliver you out of my hands? The king put enormous pressure on them to compromise what they were confident. Basically, he's telling them this: you do this or I'm going to do this. And by saying that, he was confident that they would compromise their beliefs and bow their knee. You ever dealt with somebody like that? That they thought they could do whatever they wanted to you and it wouldn't change. They thought for sure you would cave. You can tell that in their actions, can't you? You can tell that in their attitudes. That's what the king thought. He thought he had them over the barrel and they were going to cave quicker than anything. Why? Because that's what everybody else did. Everybody else caved and did what the king wanted. Nebuchadnezzar thinks nothing about insulting their God and totally dismisses their beliefs. He just doesn't understand. And he has no problem putting their God, God Almighty, on the same level as his gods. Now, there was another world leader that did that too. Pharaoh. He didn't think anything about God. He thought that he was God, and the gods that he worshiped were bigger than anything around. And he acted that way, and he said that. So what did God do? He sent plagues. And with each plague, he undermined and destroyed their religious beliefs. Their beliefs in their God. Each plague destroyed one of their gods. And so he, when, by the time the plagues were over, they had destroyed all the beliefs. And it even says that many Egyptians started to trust in God. But he's doing the same thing here. He doesn't think anything about God. He doesn't care about their beliefs. He doesn't understand them. He totally dismisses them. And in today's world, in popular society, everywhere you look, when you're watching movies, when you're listening to the radio, when you're watching TV, everything that truly believing in God and especially Jesus Christ is mocked and is basically thought of as idiocracy. That you're an idiot. That you're uneducated. That you don't know how to think about things logically if you trust in God. Really no difference than what Nebuchadnezzar was showing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We get treated that. Can I ask you a question? When is the last time that you have seen anybody that stood for their belief in God and their belief in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior portrayed in a positive light on anything other than a Christian-made movie? Let's face it. Just this past week, Franklin Graham got slammed and attacked for a prayer that he prayed. He wasn't praying to them. He was praying to God, but because of his prayer, he's been attacked. If you have any type of belief and you allow your beliefs in Jesus Christ and what he teaches in his word to affect how you live your life and what you believe and how you react to society, you're labeled, you're attacked. You're thought of as a nut. We are under the constant pressures of threats of labels and actions against us for our belief in our Savior. We're at this point now in our society, in our country. We can't say, no, we will not support this without being, in some cases, physically attacked, verbally attacked, and totally destroyed by the media and popular opinion. That's the world that we live in right now. But even if, let's look at this, verses 16 and 17. I love this part. This one gives me chill bumps. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God, big G, notice that, big G, whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. They said, they weren't being disrespectful when they said that, but I can just imagine a teenager today say, I don't have to answer that question. That's not what they were doing. What they were doing was telling him that they did not need to defend themselves because God would take care of them. Their resolve was clear, and they were guilty as charged. They basically were saying, yes, it's true. We're not going to bow down. And we don't have to defend ourselves because God will take care of it. They did not need to defend themselves because their belief, trust, and commitment to God was more powerful than the fear of what could be physically done to them. Now understand that, church. Their belief in God, their faith in God, was more strong than any fear they could possibly have of what was going to happen to them if they didn't conform. Can you imagine that strength of conviction, that strength of faith, and the face of certain death? But you know why they could do that? Because they had a good understanding and appreciation for the power of Almighty God. What'd they tell him? No, we're not going to bow. Because our God is able to deliver us. He can take us out of that fiery furnace, and he can take us out of your hand. There is nothing that you're going to do that's going to make us bow our knees. But they also knew. Well, they knew God's power, but they also knew that they must do what is right, even if God does not do what they expect or hope He will do. Even if. They have an understanding and appreciation of submission to God, regardless the cost. They were committed and submitted to the power of God. But I want you to understand that this even if. They didn't doubt God's ability. They just weren't claiming to know His will. Think about this. Here they are standing by in front of the king, being threatened with death. And they say, King, we don't have to defend ourselves. You know what we did. And yes, it's true, but our God is able to save us. Our God can reach into that fire and take us out of that fire and take us out of your hands. But even if He doesn't do that, we're not going to bow. So either way, we win, you lose. Because we are not going to bend our knee, regardless of what you do to us. That faith in God, that He was going to take care of them no matter what. Church, what's the worst thing that somebody could do to us? They could destroy us financially. They can destroy our reputation. They can take everything that we have. They can even take our lives. But unless you give it up, they can never take your soul. So what's the worst thing they can do to you? Scripture says to close our eyes here on earth is to be present with God. So if they kill us or take our lives because of our belief in Jesus Christ, our belief in God, our refusal to bow our knees to another God, if they take our life, then our salvation is made complete. We are made whole again. And we're standing face to face with our Savior. You think of it in that term, and it's like, yeah, the alternative is not too bad, is it? They cannot take your soul. But you can give it away. We often whine about our rights and what is fair. But sometimes it's better just to take the stand, accept what comes, and leave everything else up to God. There is a song about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I haven't heard it in a long time, but in that song it says, they did not bend, they did not bow, they did not burn. As Paul Harvey would say, and now the rest of the story. Their response to the king made him so angry that he ordered the furnace to be heated up far beyond what it was actually capable of, to the point where the people that were throwing them into the furnace, they burst into flame. So he has them thrown into the fiery furnace. And then he goes and looks. And he says, hey, guys, how many people did we throw in there? They said, 3, King. He says, are you sure? He goes, because I see 4 guys walking around in there. And he said, the 4th one looks like the Son of Man. Just like he will do with us. Jesus met them in the fire. And he will meet you there too. When they came out, the Bible says that their bonds were gone. They had been set free in the fire. But their clothes did not smell like smoke, and not a hair on their body was singed. Do you think Nebuchadnezzar understood their faith in God at that point? Oh, yeah. Because he said, there is no other God like the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They did not bow. And they had that even if faith, that even if God did not do what they wanted him to or hoped that he would do, they still were not going to relinquish that faith in God, that they were going to do what's right. So here's some personal applications for you, for me and for you. What would change in our lives if we lived our life with the same even if faith? What would change? And how would it impact those around us if we took a stand for God without fear of what happened to us? Remember, God said, if I am for you, who can stand against you? How would having even if perspective impact your sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Let's face it, sometimes we don't share the gospel of Jesus Christ because we're afraid of what they'll think, what they will do, how they will act. We're afraid of what it will cost us. But if we had this even if perspective, how would that impact that? I'll tell you how it impacted. I'm going to share the gospel of Jesus Christ even if they kill me. I mean, that's how it will impact it. Church, I have one last question for you, and it's not going to be on the screen. What's keeping us from having this even if faith? Sometimes it may be we just don't want to. But for some of us, it may be we just don't know Jesus Christ. And if that's the case, please let me introduce you to Him. I guarantee you He will change your life. He will turn your world upside down. You may not be the richest. You may not be the most popular, but I guarantee you one thing. You'll be happier than you've ever been in your life. And as you start to learn more and more about Him, He will do things in your life that you would never imagine would be possible. This is the time we're going to sing one verse of a song. This is your opportunity right now to do whatever it is that God's calling you to do. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, this is your opportunity to come and talk to me about that so I can introduce you to Jesus Christ. This is your chance right now.
Would you stand as we sing hymn number 411, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. 411.
Your word. And we thank you for the fact that we can have this even if faith, that regardless of what can be done to us or whatever may happen, that we can stay faithful to you without compromising, without bending to make other people happy. As we go through this meeting, Lord, just continue to guide us. Continue to show us your will and what you would want us to do as a church. Thank you for keeping us here, keeping us safe, and keeping us focused. And it's in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen.